Erev Tov, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. We'll get started in just a moment. It's a pleasure to welcome Shoshana Schachter, who's Associate Dean of Torah and Spiritual Life at Stern College for Women and the founding director, as you just heard, of the Mechina program. There, she's a graduate of Stern and she has a degree in Judaic Studies, English Literature. She also has a master's degree at from Revel in Jewish Studies and Columbia University in Journalism, which is kind of cool. So it's a pleasure to welcome Shoshana to as her debut for Torah Motion. It's really a pleasure to have you here. And Vakasha.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Kelman. I have to tell you, I didn't really know about Torah in Motion until you reached out to me. And then I did a little research and I do not know why I didn't know about Torah in Motion. I mean, I've heard wonderful, wonderful things. The spreading of Torah that you do is really incredible. And you've always done it. Have you always done it on Zoom?
No. That's one of the reasons you probably haven't heard of us. We were really probably the first organization to go a little bit online back in 2007, 2008. We had classes online. We've done a little over the years, but we were mainly in person in Toronto. Oh. And since March of last year, we've really, you know, we totally pivoted.
We've expanded. But, one of the upsides of COVID,
Correct.
Of COVID 2020, that we expand our horizons. We brought in, you know, I've heard that you have wonderful shiurim. I have a very good friend who's a top-notch mechanechet. Her name is Leah Silver. Actually, I see her father's on here, and she was telling me how much her father enjoys it. And she's heard so many great things. You should have her come. She's great.
Okay.
And
you're always this, looking for ideas.
You do this once a week, every week.
Once a week, we have had 12 classes during the week for those since, you know, Pesach. No, we have a parsha class every Thursday night, a different speaker.
Wow. Sort amazing. Of, so you really
are more, you know, our series, 6, 4, 10, ongoing, you know, different.
That's wonderful.
I'll send your whole schedule. I'll put you on.
I would love to. Yeah, you have my email now. I would love to get on the email on the Torah in Motion.
Okay.
Email
we can
schedule.
Choose later. Everybody wants to hear what you have to say.
Okay, good. So, okay, where it's 8:31. We're just, you know, 1 minute over. So welcome, everybody. I know it's a great parsha. There's so much stuff going on here. I'll make one request. I say this to my students. If you're able to, I know sometimes you can't and some of you might not be, you know, dressed or whatever, but if you could put on your video, it's always great because it's much more bonding and much more connective. I totally get if you can't, you know, my students, I make them do it. I'm not going to make you do it. But it's much more bonding, you know, for me giving a class, not just to, you know, to names on a black screen, but also to each other. You know, you can look around and you're all learning together and it's very connective and it's very bonding. So thank you for inviting me, Rabbi Kelman. Thank you so thank you for coming, Thistleflower. Thank you for joining us tonight. And I know Rabbi Kelman asked me a while ago, you know, pick a parsha. And I was like, I don't know. I love, there's so many interesting things in so many different parshiot. And then I figured, you know, I've been busy at Stern bringing people back to campus. So I figured, oh, I'll do it at the end of the semester, you know, so I'll pick something in Bamidbar and then it'll be the end of the semester. Little did I know that we're in the middle of finals, you know, all the grades are due tomorrow, but good. This is good. The Parsha is great. So a little bit about Parsha Naso, you know, I did give out sources and I think Rabbi Kelman just posted them. They are all in Hebrew. I do go through everything. I've taught to many different levels of audiences. So don't worry, you could use it. You could not use it. I never speak without sources. I think it's very good. First of all, it keeps me in check so I can't ramble. And second of all, you see where I'm getting this from. I'm not making this stuff up, you know? It's always good to go through the sources. So I do go through everything. Little background to Parshat Naso. And thank you also, everybody. I know Thursday nights are hectic. It's Shabbos prep time. And I'm always so inspired when people spend time preparing for Shabbos, not just physically. Meaning there's a physical preparation we do. We're cooking. Your soup is probably cooking. But the fact that you could go into Shabbos on Thursday night, preparing for Shabbos spiritually also, and doing a little bit of learning. And that makes, it applies to before the Chagim. You know, I'm always so impressed when people go to Shurim, you know, before Pesach, as busy as it is. But again, there's physical prep and then there's spiritual prep. And I think that the spiritual prep is really important as well, especially, you know, you take for granted Shabbos, you know, keeps coming and it comes often. And by the way, this week, because of Shavuos, I mean, it came really fast. I can't believe it's Shabbos again. And but to go into Shabbos with this, you know, preparation that's not just physical, like kol hakavod. So I figured I'll do something in Bamidbar because it was a far way off. And I actually picked a great, really great Parsha. And I'll tell you why. Nusso is interesting. Just a little context, and then we'll choose Birchat Konim, and then at the end, we'll kind of look at it as a whole, if we have time, but I hope we'll have time. So we have nothing else to do tonight, right? So a little bit of context, okay? Bnei Yisrael have been at Har Sinai when Parshat Bamidbar opens. Bnei Yisrael have been at Har Sinai for almost a year. Even timeline-wise, I'm not sure people realize that most of the Torah takes place within almost a year, like a year minus 10 days. You know, they camp at Har Sinai towards the beginning, at the end of Bishalach in Shemot. The rest of Shemot, all of Vayikra, and the beginning of Bamidbar, they're still at Har Sinai. And they're only there for a year minus 10 days. They get there on Aleph Sivan, and then they leave the following Chaf Iyar, 10 days before Aleph Sivan, before their first year anniversary. And they're learning. They're learning. Now, it's interesting. I like to compare the year at Har Sinai when I teach it to my students, like the year in Israel. You know, if anyone had the experience of the year in Israel, it's amazing. You're in the bubble. You're learning. You're so inspired. Then what? So Bamidbar opens where Bnei Israel are about to leave Har Sinai. You know, Hashem says in Parsha Balotcha, Rav lachem shevet bahar zeh lechus. So you've been at this mountain long enough. It's time to go. You can't stay at Har Sinai forever. You can't stay in seminary in yeshiva forever. You can't stay in the bubble forever. I know the Rebbe might want to tell you that, but it doesn't work. You know, you got to leave. You got to go into real life. And what's the challenge? The challenge is that you want to take the inspiration with you. You want to take the Torah that you learned with you and figure out how to incorporate it into your everyday life. And that's what Bamidbar, you know, that's what the beginning of Bamidbar is about, with, you know, preparing to leave Har Sinai. And the challenge is going to be how to take it with you, how to take that inspiration with you. The Netziv in his Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin and his Perush HaEmek Davar, his introduction to Bamidbar, he says Bamidbar is all about transition. They're going from the transition of the spiritual relationship, the supernatural, relationship with Hashem, into the natural relationship with Hashem. That everything has been supernatural so far. Their whole experience with God has been supernatural. You know, the whole Yitziat Mitzrayim and the Makos and Matan Torah, everything, getting food from Shamayim, from heaven, getting water from rocks, everything has been supernatural. And now they're going to have to transition and recognize that Hashem is in their midst, even when they're not in the bubble of Har Sinai with Hashem supernaturally obvious or evident there. So they're going to have to go. And when they leave Har Sinai, the plan was to go straight into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, do Kibush Haaretz, conquer the land. And they were going to conquer the lands in a natural way, you know, with Hashem's help, but naturally, as opposed to supernaturally, like Hashem defeated the Egyptians, they're going to have to defeat the Canaanim in a natural way, you know, think Israeli army, thank God, you know, with the help of Hashem in a natural way. And the challenge is going to be, how do they stay connected to Hashem? How do they stay inspired by Torah as they're going into a more natural relationship with Hashem and their more of an everyday natural, not supernatural existence? So that's the beginning of Bamidbar. So how does it start? Parsha Bamidbar, you know, if anybody learned this in yeshiva, you probably had to memorize where all the Shvatim stood. They're setting up the camp. They're preparing for Kibush Haaretz, for the conquest of the land. And they, you know, they're preparing the army for military purposes. Well, they're preparing for a bunch of reasons. That's a different year. And they're about to, you know, leave Har Sinai. And like I said, in Baalotcha, Hashem says, okay, you know, next week's Parsha, they leave. They actually leave. Hashem says, we've been at this mountain long enough. It's time to go. And Nusso comes along in the middle of those two Parshiot. And Nusso is like, wait, before you leave, just a few last minute instructions. And the last minute instructions seem to be a list of completely, you know, disconnected topics. Okay. So, and again, we'll come back to that at the end, wherever we are, we'll skip because it's important to talk about that. And the beginning of Nusso continues the whole setting up of the camp, which began in Bamidbar. And then it goes into these, like I said, seemingly disconnected topics. It talks a little bit about Sara'at, when you speak Lashon Hara and you get Sara'at, what do you have to do? It talks about, you know, if you steal something and you deny it and then you're caught, then you have to bring something called a Korban Asham, which is a guilt offering. And then it talks about the laws of Sota. If a husband has Edim, witnesses that his wife was was, you know, had an affair and was not faithful. And then they have to go to the Kohen and she has to drink the soda water, as they say. That's not funny. Okay. The Mayim that with Hashem's name. And then after that comes the laws of Nazir, a Nazirite, somebody who wants to take on a certain level of Kedusha. And there are a lot of laws related to that. By the way, each one of these is a separate shir as well. And then finally, Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aaron to bless B'nai Israel and you have Birchat Kohanim. And then comes Ba'alotcha, basically. And Hashem says, okay, it's time to leave. And Vayhi ben Sal Aaron, and that's where Balotcha begins with them, a little bit about the menorah, and then they leave. So the question is, and again, we'll come back to this at the end, why the hodgepodge of topics? But what we're going to do first is we're going to focus on Birchat Kohanim, because that's the main focus of what I want to discuss today, tonight. And then at the end, I'll give you, you know, there's a very beautiful Ralbag, which kind of brings everything together, why all these topics are here together in this Parsha, and not just together in this Parsha, but in this prime location where B'nai Israel are literally about to leave Har Sinai. And Moshe's like, okay, before you leave, quick last minute instructions, all these things that you should keep in mind. Okay, so if you look at our first source, that's the pasuk, the psukim, by Daber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Daber al Aharon via Banav Lemar, Ko Tivarchu et Bnei Israel Emar Lahem. Moshe tells Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aaron, tell your sons, to this is how Ko Tivarchu et Bnei Israel Emar Lahem. This is how you should bless Bnei Israel. Say the following: Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka. I'm not translating, I'll translate a little bit, but we're going to be discussing that. May Hashem bless you and watch over you. May Hashem shine the light of his face upon you and show you favor. May God lift his face upon you. We'll talk about that. And place upon you peace. And they will place my name upon B'nai Israel and I will bless them. Now, the reason I'm choosing Birchat Kohanim as opposed to, you know, there's a lot of nice things to say about all the different topics in Nusso is because, mainly because, first of all, this is the last thing that they're told before they leave Har Sinai. So why? And also, honestly, practically, because we are familiar with Birchat Kohanim. It's something, you know, we just said on Shavuot, you say on the Chagim in Eretz Yisrael, they say every day Birchat Kohanim. We're not on the same level of Kedusha that we could bring this divine, well, that's a different, we'll talk about that at the end also, and different explanations for that. But it's a tefillah that I feel like we're all familiar with because we've all been in shul, you know, pre-COVID and hopefully Mirtz Hashem now post-COVID, you know, hearing the Kohanim Duchin, as we say, the Yiddish term, or Du Birchat Kohanim, give us the priestly blessing. But I feel like we don't really know what they're saying and what this is all about. Do you say the paragraphs in the middle? Do you say the lines? Do you say the whole thing about the dreams? You know, like, what is this blessing all about? And we all hear it and we hear the Yivarechacha, Yivarechacha, and we're familiar with it. But I found that when I really looked into this and researched this topic, whenever I hear Birchat Kohanim, it's so much more meaningful to me. So hopefully I could pass that on to you. And I'm sorry, we just missed the Shavuot one, but next time, you know, hopefully we'll be in Eretz Yisrael soon and you'll hear Birchat Kohanim or the next Chag. And hopefully it will inspire you and it'll be more meaningful of an experience rather than, okay, it's the end of shul. Let's get this over with. I'm hungry and I want to go home and eat. So the question here, so I want to split the share into two parts. The first part is, what's the point of Birchat Kohanim? Why do we need Birchat Kohanim? And, and we'll see the questions, like the Akedat Yitzchak in number two, Ma to'elet b'mitzvah hazot? What's the purpose in this mitzvah? K'sheyomru elu ha-brachot mipi ha-kohanim el ha'am. Because we're asking the Kohanim to give us these brachot, ki hu yitaleh hu ha-mevarech. Because we know we pride ourselves on having a direct line to Hashem. You know, I always tell my students, especially the Mechina students, like, this is what's different between Judaism and other religions. There are a lot of differences, but one of the main differences, we have a direct line to God. You know, I know I've had a couple students who've converted from Catholicism over the years, you know, and to them, this is like, they're blown away. You know, in Catholicism, you know, you go to a priest and you have to ask the priest for repentance and then he asks God. You know, we don't have that. you know, we don't need to go to a priest. We don't need to, you know, yes, rabbis are important to answer halachic questions, but like we have a direct line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could talk directly to him. So we know Hashem blesses us directly. So what do we need the Kohanim? Ma yosif u ma yiten ki varchu HaKohanim u yichadlu. What are they adding? Whether they give it to us the blessing, they don't give us the blessing, you know, ki ayalahem l'sayehu, does Hashem need them their help in blessing us? So that's the first thing we're going to talk about. What's the point of this whole thing? We'll go through those first few sources a little bit quickly. I mean, because each one is similar, but a little nuanced of a difference, and you'll see why, and I'll explain each one. And then the second part of the shiur will be actually looking at the actual bracha and the three parts of the bracha and trying to understand and understanding what they mean. So, and also just one other thing to keep in mind, the bracha itself, if you think about it, it also goes in order of importance. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha is three words. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chuneka is five. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom is seven. So 3, 5, 7 is clearly in order of ascending order. We'll talk about that when we talk about what each part means. Okay, so that's our main question. Our first question is, what's the point of all this? If you look at the Gemara in Chulin, Ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael or b'yishmael omer, lamadnu bracha li'yisrael mipi kohanim, l'kohanim So Rabbi Yishmael asks in the Gemara in Chulin, we know that the Kohanim give a bracha to Bnei Israel, but who gives a bracha to the Kohanim? Kishehu omer v'ani avarchim, have omer Kohanim mevarchim liYisrael, v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu mevarech laKohanim. So again, going back to the pasuk, the last pasuk in the first source, when Moshe says, "This is how you have to bless Bnei Israel." V'samu et shmi al Bnei Israel v'ani avarchim. They will place my name upon Bnei Israel, and I will bless them. Rabbi Yishmael says, you know, I'm also an English teacher. That's ambiguous. The pronoun is ambiguous, right? They will place my name upon Bnei Israel, and I will bless them. Who's the them? I will bless them, they meaning the Kohanim, or I will bless them meaning upon them, Bnei Israel. So again, it's not a big difference. Rabbi Yishmael says that what Hashem means by that is v'samu et shmi, they, the Kohanim, will put my name upon Bnei Israel, v'ani avarchem, and I'll bless the Kohanim. So I bless the Kohanim, and the Kohanim bless Bnei Israel. A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. So it's coming from Hashem anyway, but it's just, this is the order of things. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, again, there's no nafka mina really here. There's no practical difference. Rabbi Akiva says, lamadnu bracha li Israel mipi Kohanim, mipi gvura lo lamadnu. We know that Bnei Israel here are getting the bracha from the Kohanim, but where do we see that's coming from Hashem? Kishu omer v'ani avarchem, when Hashem says, I will bless them, have omer kohanim mevarchem liYisrael, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yadam. So when it says, and I will bless them, what Hashem is basically saying, the Kohanim will put my name upon Bnei Israel, and I will bless them, meaning them, Bnei Israel. That it's not the Kohanim blessing them, but I'm agreeing to this. You know, they're bringing, you know, they're calling me to bless them. And obviously, honestly, the words also show that Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, the Kohanim are saying, not we're blessing you, Nevarech etchem, they're saying Hashem will bless you. We'll get back to that also. The Medrash Tanchuma in source number 4, Amra Knesset Yisrael ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Lakohanim Ata Omer Shivarchu Otanu, Einanu Tzrichim Ela Levirchatcha, V'Liyotcha Mitzvarchim Mipicha, Shenemar Hashkifa Mimon Kadshecha. Again, similar idea that Bnei Israel come and ask Hashem, what do we need the Kohanim for? Again, that's our question. We want your bracha. We don't want their bracha. And we know one of my favorite psukim in the Torah, Hashkifa Mimon Kachecha, that Hashem watches over us from his abode, you know, his holy abode, Umavarechet Amcha Yisrael. That's the second part of that pasuk, right? And he blesses us from his abode. So like we get, like I said before, we have a direct line to Hashem. We get brachos from Hashem. What do we need, you know, this intermediary? Amar la makadosh baruch hu. Af al pi shemarti lakohanim shehu mevarchim etchem. Ani omed imahem umevarech etchem. Hashem says, his response is, look, even though I'm telling the Kohanim to bless you, I'm there with them. I'm up there with them blessing you as well. Why did I bring this source? Again, it's not teaching us a big chiddush, just because this is the source for not looking. Because if Hashem, you know, we know that there's a mesorah not to watch, not to look when Birchat Kohanim is happening. I'm sure everybody on the Zoom has peeked at some point. No great shakes. You don't see anything, you know. Yes, when we were kids, maybe when we were older, but like the point is, you're not really spoken. No one's admitting anything. But I'll tell you two things. First of all, you're not supposed to look because of this, because the idea is that the Shekhinah is up there with them, that Hashem's standing up there with them. So that's what we get from this quote. I wanted to say one other point about that. I've noticed a lot of times, depending, I've been in different shuls for Birchat Kohanim, very often the women, I don't know if the men do this, maybe the men do it also, but the women, who are in the front row, they often turn their backs. They turn around, because they don't want to look. That's really not appropriate. Meaning they're giving you a bracha. We'll talk about the beautiful part of, the beautiful aspects of this bracha. Don't turn your back when you're getting a bracha. So just like restrain yourself, look down. That's why men often go under the talisim, but you shouldn't turn around. You should really be, and also you shouldn't be behind the kohanim. You should be in front of them because they're giving you this blessing and you should be facing them, albeit looking down. But this is what I wanted to show you. Kivyachol, Hashem is there, standing with them, but not kivyachol, like whatever Ruach Hashem, the Shekhinah is there. So we don't look. The Rashbam in the next source says, "Ko tivarchu up in Israel, klomar lo tivarchu mi berchatz pichem ke adam shomer tuata l'rosh ploni kach l'kach." It's not that the Kohanim are giving a blessing, like I said before, that it's coming from the Kohanim, like they're saying, "Oh, you're going to have a great crop this year, and I'm giving you a bracha that you're going to have a great crop." Ella elai titzpalelu she'avarchem ani, but rather that they are davening. It's a tefillah that you're asking them for a bracha that they should daven. Really, the bracha is a tefillah that Hashem should bless them. And like we said before, k'moshe mefaresh yivarecha Hashem. And that's why they say yivarecha Hashem. They're not saying we're blessing you. V'ani yashma kochem kasher tamur v'avrachem el Yisrael. And I'm going to, listen to their tefillah. It's really a tefillah. K'moshe mefaresh v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, they are placing my name upon B'nai Israel. They're not placing their name. They're placing my name. I'm the one giving them the bracha. Shivarchu akonim l'Israel bishmi v'lo bishmam. That's why the focus is v'samu et shmi al B'nai Israel. When they give the bracha with my name and not with them, then ani avarchem l'Israel k'mo shitpalu akonim v'amrim yivarech Hashem. Then really, that's when I'm going to bestow my blessings upon them because they've invoked my blessing, not their own blessing. It's not about them. Abai Benel continues on this line of thought about the bracha being a blessing, a tefillah. Habracha shem meshutav. This is interesting. I don't want to go more into this, but he says, basically, there are three different types of bracha. A bracha can mean three different things. Number one, me Hashem yitbrach l'nivra'av. One type of bracha is Hashem to his creations, like Vehi Hashva'a Vehatova, like Hashem said, Vashem Beirachat Avram Bakol. I mean, you can really use, the very beginning of the creation of man, that Hashem created Adam and then he blessed him, right? He, after the flood, he blessed Noah. He blessed Avraham Bakol. So this one first type of bracha is Hashem blessing his creations. Veyesh bracha shehi mehanivraim elav yitbarach. And then there's a second type of bracha where Hashem's creations bless him. And that's not behi hilul v'shevach. It's not like, oh God, you should be so great. It's hilul v'shevach. It's praise. It's praise of Hashem, like vayivarech David et Hashem. That model where David, all Sefer Tehillim, is a blessing to Hashem. V'yesh bracha mehen nivraim k'tzatam l'k'tzatam. And then the third type of bracha is from people to each other. And it's not like shefa, it's not like, Hashem being, it's not like you can tell someone they're going to be successful like only Hashem can to his creations. And it's not shevach v'hoda kivrachat hanivraim lebore, and it's not praise, but rather about tfila ubakashat rachamim al hamitbarech sheyashpia halav HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'rachato. But rather it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Think about the blessings that we give each other, that parents give children, that you go to, a big, gadol or tzaddiket, or, you get brachot from people, or the day of your wedding, you give brachot to people, you're not telling them they're going to be successful. They're going to find their shidduch. They're going to have children, etc. You're davening. It's a tefillah. You're davening on their behalf. V'lazen markan daber al aharon v'al banav lemar ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael lemar lahem. And that's why the language is such that Hashem tells Aaron to tell his children, this is how you should bless B'nai Israel. Say the following. Rotzeh lomar, shelo yachshvu Aaron ubanav shehem mivarchim umashpi'im be'etzem be'emet habracha el yonal Yisrael, that they shouldn't think that they're the ones giving the bracha. Ki einam ela mitpalelim bilvad al birchatam. Because really, that's all they're doing is they're invoking Hashem's blessing. They're davening. They're being mitpalel on behalf of the tzibur, v'zehu emor lahem, and that's why the pasuk says explicitly, "Daber al Aharon v'al banav lemar ko tivarchu et b'nei Israel emor lahem." It's almost redundant. This is how you should bless b'nei Israel. Say the following. This is scripted. It's scripted, and it's scripted because sheyehei inyanam amira v'tzfila alehem bilvad v'lo davar acher. It's not a bracha. You're saying the following words, and those words are invoking the blessing of Hashem. Rav Hirsch says something that I think is really interesting. Again, nuanced, different. This is the last one, then we'll get into why we still haven't answered the question why we need them. We're just talking about, you know, what their role is. More semantically. Rav Hirsch says, this is fascinating. I think this is fascinating. HaKohen HaMevarech Eino Ela Machshir. Kli HaMevateh Et HaBracha. He says that really the Kohen is just a vehicle, a kli, a vessel through which the bracha of Hashem comes. Now, what Rav Hirsch is saying here is that this is an incredible bracha, because this is really one of the only remnants of the avodah, of the Kohanim's role. Think about it. We have tefillah instead of karbanot, but that's not in the Torah, really. And the Kohanim don't really have a role in our tefillah. This is something that's a remnant of Hashem, of the Avodat of HaKohanim. And this is what Rav Hirsch touches on. It's interesting. I didn't see this in the other Mefarshim, that he says the role of the Kohanim, you know, again, we have a minhag that Kohanim don't go to cemeteries, everybody's tame, but they shouldn't be more tame, or they shouldn't put themselves in an opportunity where they become tame lame. That's a remnant. But other than that, like, we don't really have the Kohanim doing avoda except for this. So this Birchat Kohanim. So he says, basically, this is basically avoda. It's the avoda of the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. And he talks about mitatam shel bnei Aharon, pirchei kuhuna rishonim, hamida lechok velo yavar. He says that the one of the big tragedies in the Torah is the death of Aaron's sons. And, you know, they were wonderful people who had very positive motivation. They were just so enthusiastic about bringing karbanot, and they ended up bringing something that Hashem didn't ask them to. And they're the models for what's Esh Zarah. You know, they brought an Esh Zarah, they brought a foreign fire. Even if your motivation was positive, the lesson is you can't do, you know, if Hashem didn't tell you to do it, because then it's not a voda, then it's an Esh Zarah. And it was a very sad, very tragic lesson. You know, that's where, you know, Aaron's reaction was Vayidom Aharon, like, no words. I feel like that was quoted so much after Meron. Like, sometimes you just don't have words, you know, and that's where that comes from. He was just silent. But anyway, back to this. So he says, we learned from that story, Shirak avoda asher tziva Hashem hi avoda. That only avoda that is hasher tziva Hashem, that was commanded by Hashem, is considered avoda. Otherwise, it's just man's actions, and then it's the opposite of avodat Hashem, and it's esh zara, and it's foreign. So look how he compares it to birchat kohanim. Hachok hazeh kocho yafeh gam benogel lebirchat kohanim. Kotzer varchu et bnei Yisrael. You could apply this to birchat kohanim as well. This is how you should bless Bnei Israel. Kach lelo shinoi. The same way that the Kohanim have to be very careful to do the avoda exactly the way Hashem commanded them to do it on our behalf, so too the Kohanim here have to give us the bracha exactly the way Hashem commanded, without any change, without any variation, you know, from what Hashem is telling them. Lefizeh Kohanim mitbarchim machshirim nifalim him. And his point is that the same way that the Kohanim's job was to help us do avoda at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, at the time of the Mishkan, think about it. Let's say I did something, I sinned, and I have to bring a Karban Chatas. I can't just walk into the Beis HaMikdash and bring my Karban Chatas. I have to go to the Kohen and with the animal, and the Kohen brings my Karban Chatas, whether it's a personal Karban, Toda, Karban Chatas, or it's on behalf of the tibor. If it's a karban tibor, the Kohen brings it. He doesn't bring, if he brings my karban chatas, he's not bringing it on behalf of himself. You know, he's my shaliach, shlucho shel adam kimoto in this case. A shaliach is like the person. So when I bring him my animal and he brings a karban on my behalf, the karban is for me. It's my karban chatas, even though I didn't bring it actually, he brought it. So that's what Hirsch says. So that's what's going on here. When they're giving us the bracha, look what he says. He says, really, rak acharei, we're asking the Kohen to give us the bracha that we're getting from Hashem. He's just the vehicle through which that bracha is coming, the same way he's the vehicle through which the Karban Chatas happens. And he makes this good point. He says, rak acharei hikaram al yidei hakahal. Hey, momrim et ha-bracha asher ba kochosha hakahal makriotam lifneihem. And that's why the Kohanim, the same way a Kohen can't just, you know, proactively bring a Korban Chatas without me asking him to. You know, I go and I say, listen, I want to bring a Korban Toda, I want to bring a Korban Chatas. He's not coming to me and telling me I need to do it. So the same way that he can't proactively do it, but he waits for me to ask him to do it, this is why the same thing happens with Birchat Kohanim, because it's part of the Avodah. Think about it. You know, I'm sure you never thought about this. I never thought about this, that when the Kohanim get up, before they start Birchat Kohanim, before they make the bracha, the Chazan says what? The HaKohanim. You ever think about that? Like, it's part of the script. But that's what Rav Hirsch is saying. That the HaKohanim is not just like to make it more dramatic. That's because we are initiating our avoda. We're going to the Kohanim and we're saying, we would like to get the blessing from Hashem. Help us through it the same way you helped us do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. It's unbelievable. It's like mamash, like a remnant of the avoda. Think about that. It's awesome when you think about it. Kach be'emet mitoch gronam shel HaKohanim, through the throats of the Kohanim, mevarecha kahal et atzmo bebracha shetziva Hashem. And that's why it's really through the throats of the Kohanim do we bless ourselves. We give ourselves the blessing, the same way that it's through the, you know, actions, through the hands of the Kohen, that in the time of the Beit HaMikdash that we were able to bring our karban. So I like that idea, because that Rav Hirsch connects it to the avoda, which I didn't see any of the other mafarshim do. And it just, to me, I don't know, makes it more exciting. You know, this is something we actually did in the Beit HaMikdash, you know, that's a remnant that we have now, very holy. Okay, last point before we get into the actual bracha itself. So the Al Sheikh says something interesting. So again, we talked a lot about the semantics, why we need their bracha. I mean, you know, what it means, what the bracha means, and where it's coming from, but we still haven't really explained. So except the Rav Hirsch a little. Rav Hirsch kind of explained that a little bit. Why we need the Kohanim. But even Rav Hirsch, okay, so it's part of the Avodah. So I understand why he has to bring a Chatas for us. But what about the blessing from Hashem? Like, that we get directly, right? So what do we need the Kohanim? So Al-Sheikh says something very, very nice. And then I'm going to back it up with the Gemara and Shabbos and that Kedas Yitzchak. So the next three sources go hand in hand. And then we'll get into the bracha itself. Says Rav Moshe Al-Sheikh, Lama yidabru HaKohanim Im Yisrael Lomar Yivarech Hashem. Again, same question, just asked a little differently. Why do we need the Kohanim saying, you know, may Hashem bless you, if we know the blessings come from Hashem? Halo tov hayashi dabru Kohanim el Hashem v'yomru elav barchem Hashem v'shomram v'loshi dabru im Yisrael lemar lahem Yivarech Hashem. Now, this is a fair question, especially after the coming from Rav Hirsch. So we understand. So let's say you say like Rav Hirsch, it's part of the Avoda. Now, let me ask you a question. You weren't there when we brought Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. You weren't there when the Kohen was bringing the Karban, certainly not the Karban Sibor, and also the Karban Yachid. You couldn't go in there. So you would like wait outside, you know, and I don't know if the Kohen had a backup. You had to wait online, you know, you had to wait till the Kohen would come out and say, okay, your Karban was brought. It was accepted. But you didn't do it with him. So it's a fair question. So if Moshe Al-Sheikh says, okay, if you want to say it's Avoda or not, or it's just, you know, the bracha that the Kohen Amar vehicle through which the bracha of Hashem comes, why can't they do it on their own time? Why do we need this whole scripted drama? Why do we need the Kohanim up there in their splendor with the Chazin, who's the Shliach Tzibor, literally, you know, representing the Tzibor, the Kehillah, the community, saying, Yivarechecha, Yivarechecha, Hashem, Hashem. Like, it's a script. It's a dramatic script. So he asks a good question. If you want to say that this is coming through the Kohanim, so let the Kohanim on their own time, you know, let them come to davening 20 minutes early, go into the corner of shul and say, God, can you bless these people? Yivarechacham, right? Why is it Yivarechacha to you? Why are they speaking to us? Why can't they just do it on their own time in the Beis HaMikdash also? And now, if they want to bring the blessing of Hashem. So V'lazeh Amar Ko Tivarchu. And this is why, Al-Sheikh says, the language of Hashem, the language of the Torah that Hashem explicitly said, Ko Tivarchu, this is how you have to bless them. Not just the words, interestingly, that's the Chiddush here, but the way that it's done, this drama, this dramatic backdrop, this back and forth. Why? Because Nityachasu Itam Lemivorchim Be'amro Lahem Be'atzmam Yivarechacha. Because nityachasu, they have to relate. From the word yachas, it's relationship. Hashem wants them to have this back and forth. He wants us to be standing in front of the Kohanim and the Kohanim in front of the shul, and they're speaking to us directly back and forth. Behatam, why? why is that relationship important? Again, you're losing that relationship if the Kohanim go into the corner on their own time and say, God, can you bless these people? Why? V'hatam, kinei al yidei zeh, kein, v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael. Because only if you do it this way will Hashem's name be placed upon B'nai Israel. It'll happen properly. Why? Ki al yidei diburam im Yisrael, because through their interaction with B'nai Israel, through their speaking to B'nai Israel, hey mikavnim otam lekabel et habracha. They are preparing them to receive the bracha. Besumet shmo yitvarach al Hashem. Shehu b'dibur itam be'emar lahem yivarechacha sh'al yidei kach yuchnu b'yushpu'u. Now this is a beautiful idea. That what the Alshach is saying is, the reason the Kohanim have to get up there and say this to us is because they're preparing us to receive the bracha that we get from Hashem, but they're preparing us so that the bracha will be even greater. I'll explain it through the next two sources. What does that mean? And you'll see what he means. But I have to start with this Gemara in Shabbos. It's a Gemara in Shabbos that talks about when Moshe went up to Har Sinai, what happens? There's a bunch of different, you know, midrashim about this. And the Gemara talks about Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, B'sha'ah shalam Moshe lemarom, matzola kadosh baruch hu sheyakosher k'tarim la'otziot. Moshe went up on Har Sinai as Hashem was finishing up, you know, the crowns on top of the letters. He was finishing up the finishing touches on the Torah. Amar lo Moshe, ein shalom be'iracha. And Hashem says, Moshe, you're just standing there. You're gonna say hi. Amar lefanav klum yesh eved shenotim shalom l'rabo. And Hashem and Moshe responds like, seriously, I'm supposed to walk in and say, hey God, what's happening? You know, like I'm supposed to address my master, the creator of the world, my Rebbe. Amar lo. So Hashem says to him, okay, ayalacha lezreini. So you know, you don't want to address me fine, but I need your help. At least, come help me. So there's a whole discussion. What does that mean? What does Hashem need Moshe's help? The whole discussion, the Gemara and the Akedas Yitzchak, I'm only going to read a piece of it because we still have to get into the bracha itself. We still have to cook for Shabbos. But so there's a whole discussion about what exactly does Hashem need Moshe's help with? And the answer is, very beautiful idea, that Hashem, think about this. Hashem has this amazing gift to give to his people, his beloved B'nai Israel, this incredible gift that I like to explain to my students. It's a 613-step recipe for a meaningful existence. Meaningful existence and connection to your creator. Like, you know, someone should tell that to Oprah. Like, the secret to a meaningful existence, right? This is what you got to do. This is what you should follow. So this is a tremendous gift that will bring people a meaningful existence, which is huge, right? The secret to a meaningful existence. Hashem needs Moshe's help to help B'nai Israel unlock the secrets of the Torah, meaning teach them how to use this gift to be able to unlock all the profound meaning that comes from it. Meaning you could give someone the most incredible gift, but if they don't know how to use it, right? Then what's the point? I was ready for a new iPhone and my kids wanted me to get the top iPhone. I don't know. And at that point it was like maybe the 10. I don't even know what they're up to now. 14. I don't know. But you know, I said to them, listen, I need to check emails, send a WhatsApp once in a while, send my texts, like take a picture, you know, like I'm not going to appreciate this if you all chip in and get me this gift, unless you tell me how to use it and you show me how great this thing is, then it's meaningful. But otherwise, like, what's the point? So I ended up with a 6S. But anyway, nobody wanted to teach me what was so great about it. But the point is, so that's not a good mashal. It's not totally parallel. But the point is, if you give someone a gift, but they don't know how you could get the most amazing gift in the world, but if you don't know what to do with it, you could get the best computer in the world. But if you're not tech savvy, you know, what's the point? So Hashem needs Moshe's help to help him make Torah meaningful. And that's what Moshe's job was. Moshe Rabbeinu, he taught it. He unlocked the secrets of Torah to B'nai Israel, because the more you learn it, the more you recognize the deep meaning that it can give to you and help you live a meaningful existence. So I'm just going to do the last two lines in Akedas Yitzchak. He says it's a beautiful mashal to explain this. Kechalkat eretz, it's like a piece of land. Asher kol od enena avuda uzrua. A piece of land that you didn't prepare, you didn't plow, you didn't plant anything. Lo yuchlu hageshem v'atal lifal pulatam hatova aleha ad she'teavo v'tizara karaui. Now, so let's say you have this land and you don't plow it and you don't plant anything and then it rains. Now we know rain is a big bracha. We daven for rain, right? So what happens if it rains? If you did nothing in preparation for this field, that rain is it a bracha philosophical question. No, it's not, because you end up, it might be a bracha in theory and objectively, but you're ending up with a big muddy field. But what happens if you spend hours preparing that field and plowing it and planting, and then that same rain comes? That same rain is a much bigger bracha. So that's the beauty of this Birchat Kohanim, that basically what the Kohanim are saying to us, we get brachos showered on us from Hashem all the time. I think one of the challenges of being a human being, I can't speak for you, I can speak for myself, is recognizing and appreciating the brachos that Hashem showers on us. Because sometimes we don't appreciate it. You know, we get stressed out, and sometimes the things that we get most stressed out about are the things that are our biggest brachot. You know, think children, right? And you know, I remember once, you know, complaining that my house was so messy. One of my kids wrote on the wall and ruined the wall, and I have to now repaint, and the house was in, and nobody puts away toys. And then, you know, my brother, who's a fertility specialist, said, you know what, Shoshana, a lot of people would love that problem who don't have that problem, you know, and that shut me up. I'm like, Baruch Hashem, my house is messy. Baruch Hashem, I'm busy with carpools, you know, and it's stressing me out. But Baruch Hashem. So, you know, we have brachot that we just don't always appreciate. So the Kohanim's role here is that they're getting up. And think about this. Next time you hear Birchat Kohanim, I'm telling you, it's so meaningful to me personally, that when the Kohanim are up there, what they're basically saying is, guys, listen, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, God is bestowing bracha on you. And now we'll go into what that means exactly, but which part Hashem is blessing you. Be prepared to receive the bracha. Be cognizant, be aware that this bracha is coming, because that bracha will be exponentially greater and more appreciative. And that's why you need this back and forth with the Kohanim, because if the Kohanim went into the corner without us and said, God, can you just bless these people, we would lose the whole thing. So this way, when the Kohanim are up, I'm telling you, think about it. Think about the brachas in our lives with all the stresses and all the difficulty and all the challenges. Think of the bracha we have as the Kohanim are telling us this. And the Kohanim aren't telling us, we're giving you bracha. They're saying Hashem is constantly giving you bracha. Think about it. Be aware of it. Look around. Take these few minutes to meditate on that and think about it. Okay, so now we could get into the actual bracha. So what is this incredible bracha that the Kohanim are telling us to be prepared for and prepare ourselves? Mitkavnim, you know, get us ready. Get us from the word kavana, mechavnim otanu, that we should get ready and have the proper kavana to be able to receive the brachos that we're getting. So one personal story, I was once, my husband, he runs a mental health clinic in Muncie. He should speak for you also, Rabbi Kelman. He does a lot of psychology and Judaism, and he was once summoned by the Square Rebbe, because he had a lot of clients from New Square. So I was waiting for the time to come that the Square Rebbe was like, okay, I got to meet this guy. So I went with him. I'm like, you're going to Rebbe? I'm coming with you. You know, so before he started talking shop with my husband, he said to me, I didn't think he was going to address me. And he looked right at me and he said, so Mrs. Schechter, what can I bless you with? I'd like to give you a blessing. What can I bless you with? And I was like put on a spot a little, maybe I hadn't prepared properly. And I was like, you know, I don't know. Thank God. Like I have a wonderful husband. I have wonderful kids. My parents are, you know, thank God, like things are good. So, you know, I'm not looking for a shidduch. My kids weren't, you know, at that age yet, you know? So I said to him, basically, I said, well, you know what, maybe the blessing you could give me is that I should appreciate the brachos I have. And I think that's really, you know, that's our challenge. So anyway, so that's the role of the Kohanim over here. So now let's look at the bracha itself. If you look at source number 11, Rashi, Yivarechecha, and this will, we can go through these quickly because a lot of the Mefarshim agree on this. Yivarechecha sheitz barchu nechasecha. Again, first part of Birchat Kohanim, three words. Okay. It's physical. It's a physical bracha that Hashem should bless your possessions. Nechasecha. And then what's v'yishmerecha? Shelo yavo alecha shodedim litoma monecha. That thieves, robbers shouldn't come and take your stuff, take your money. Shenotein matana lavdo eino yachol hashamro mikol adam. Because when you give someone a gift, you can't protect that gift from people. And so if you could give someone the most amazing gift, but then someone steals it, so then they get no hana from it. So aval kadosh baruch hu anotein hu ashomer. But Hashem can give and he can also protect it so that you shouldn't lose it. Okay, so that's the physical bracha. Ibn Ezra agrees, Yivarecha, Tosefet Chayim Be'osher. It's an additional, you know, Hashem gives you life and wealth, physical life and wealth. V'tam v'yishmerecha shishmor tosefet v'lo yigzol acher mashi yosif. And again, same thing as Rashi, that Hashem should protect, give you physical things and also protect the things that he gives you. I threw in here the Nitziv in source number 13, just because I thought he said something so interesting, a little bit different. He also says it's physical. So he adds this piece. And I don't think that this is might be different than what Rashi is saying, just Rashi doesn't comment on this piece. He doesn't focus on this. The Nitziv says, I want to say something. He says, it is physical, but it's each person according to what he has. And that's why it's personal. It's singular. Yivarechecha, not yivarechechem, not you should all be wealthy. You know, you should all have a lot of possessions. You know, it's individual. It's very individual based on what you do and what's good for you. It's based on the bracha that you've already been blessed with until this point. For example, le'osek betorah b'limudo. If what's important to you is your learning and you're busy learning, and that's what you spend your time doing, so Hashem should bless you in your learning. If you're in business, Hashem will bless your business. You know, and that's what it means. It's tosefet l'chol adam b'mashi yeshlo. That it's individualized, it's designed for individual purposes, right? That you should have an addition to whatever you already have. You know, you're not going to bless someone in something if that's not what he's busy doing, you know, if that's not shayach to him. So I thought that was a good point. Again, I don't think it's mutually exclusive what Rashi's saying. But then he says the second point is the point that I find really fascinating, very psychological. V'yishmarecha, dechol bracha ba'esh mira, shelo yahafchu l'roetz chas v'shalom. He says, V'yishmarecha doesn't mean like Rashi and Evan Ezra, Hashem's going to give you stuff and he's going to protect the stuff. He says, no, Hashem will give you stuff, but, you know, give you addition to whatever you have and then protect you from yourself. Meaning what? Sometimes if you become successful, people who become successful, sometimes it messes them up. You know, you hear all this, all these stories about these lottery winners, right? They won all this money and then it ruined their lives. I always say to Hashem, test me on that one. Go ahead. Test me on that one. Right. So like, you know, cause then, or let's say even in your learning and then you get successful in your learning and then it could get to your head and you become arrogant, you know, and then you become, you know, self-destructive, you know? So I just thought it's an interesting, you know, nuanced approach. Like Hashem should bless you, but also protect you that it should bring you, you know, may the things you get bring you happiness and joy. And it shouldn't be negative. Okay. So that's the first part. And then Abarbanel says, "Shah bracha rishona hi bracha b'inyanei haguf." Right, the first one is physical. Shivarech v'yashpi alehem tovot harbei banim chayim mizonot. You know, v'yashmor lahem shelo yachzru bahem. Fine. And he also says it's individual, like the Ibn Ezra, like the Nitziv. You know, Hashem should give you, you know, children and food and life, physical things. Tosefet betovot hagashmiot. And you know, the addition to things that are physical. And then comes along the second part. And that's why those are three words. Okay. And by the way, the Or HaChaim, I didn't bring the Or HaChaim because he says the same thing everyone else says. He just adds one line. He says, Ki im in kemach in Torah. Because like, you shouldn't feel bad asking Hashem for physical things because like, you know, someone's got to pay tuition. You know what I'm saying? Like, im in kemach in Torah, you need flour for Torah. Like you need physical things also. So as long as you know, that's not the be all and end all, that the only thing you're looking for or the most important thing you're looking for is money, you know, that, you know, then you have to think about your priorities, but don't feel guilty asking Hashem for physical things. That's also important. But again, that's the first level of Birchat Konim, the three words. The next one, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka, is spiritual. Look at the Medrash Rabbah number 15. Ya'er zema'or Torah, shi'ya'ir einecha v'libcha b'Torah, v'yitein lecha banim b'nei Torah. This is spiritual. That the same way that we said in the first one, Hashem bestows physical bracha upon us, he also bestows spiritual bracha upon us, that he should light up, you know, he should light us up with Torah, that our hearts and our eyes should be lit up with Torah. Obviously, that's not physical. And we should have children. The children is from the physical bracha, but that our children should be b'nei Torah and should be inspired and spiritually uplifted. That's the spiritual. That's the Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka. And then if you look at Rashi, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, I love this Rashi. Got to look at this in number 16, just so you see the words. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, he says, Yireh lecha panim sochakot, panim tzahuvot. Right? I'm just explaining exactly the words here, right? Hashem should show you a smiling, laughing face. Anyone know, you know what the word tzahov is? What color tzahov is? Yellow. I think Rashi is just quoting an emoji here. A yellow, happy, smiley face, right? I mean, like, okay, obviously this is not physical, but like, and I know emojis can come in purple, but usually the angry ones come in purple. The happy ones come in yellow. You know, even before the emojis are such thing as emojis, there was that yellow, happy, smiley face. Like, I think, you know, I don't know. But Rashi's, you know, look what Rashi says. Hashem should show you this happy, yellow, smiling face and yiten lacha chen and show you favor. What does that mean? It's spiritual. It's obviously not physical, but it's what about that, you know, happy, smiling face that Hashem is smiling upon you, that we should feel that we are being smiled upon by Hashem, that we feel spiritually uplifted. And so that's the spiritual blessing. And that's the five words, because that's a higher level than the three, which is physical. And then finally, here, Eben Ezra says the same thing. So let's go to Rashi in number 18. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Now it's interesting. Rashi and the Midrash comes before Rashi. Rashi's quoting the Midrash. It's amazing when you think about what Rashi did without any Mefarshim in front of him, except for the Midrash Rabbah, basically, and the Gemaras. So Rashi says something different than the other Mefarshim. Rashi says, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha. It's interesting. What exactly does that mean? That Hashem should lift his face a lecha towards you or away from you, you know, lifting his face. You could lift it away or you could lift it towards. So it's very interesting how Rashi says he chooses. And I think about this, like why Rashi chose this explanation. Is this what's pshat? Because it's a little negative, you know, in the context of a much more positive bracha. But I think because, and I don't want to get into it now, but the precedent, you know, of this, of what Yisa Hashem, he brings other examples. If you look at other examples of what it means, it often means, more often than not, it means remove. So what do you mean Hashem is removing his face? That doesn't seem good. So Rashi says, no, Yichbosh Ka'aso, he's removing his angry face. That, what does that mean? Yichbosh Ka'aso, he should conquer his anger. That in case we do not necessarily deserve the brachos of Hashem, we don't necessarily deserve to be, you know, given physical and spiritual brachos from Hashem because we're not necessarily always doing the things that we're meant to do. So the last part is Yisa Hashem panav eilecha. He will give you the physical and spiritual blessings because he's going to remove whatever anger he has towards you. Like, it's fine. You know, he'll let it go. He'll be mochel. You know, and v'yasem lecha shalom, and that will bring you peace, because part of having this inner angst is, you know, I'm not worthy of Hashem's bracha. Like, why would I be worthy of having nice things happen? I'm davening for a child, but I'm not worthy, you know? So this way, like, that'll bring you peace, knowing that Hashem, it's fine. It's fine. Any anger he might have towards you or you think you deserve, he's removing. You know, he's just going to bestow these brachos upon you. So, and the Medrash says the same thing. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha, yavir kaso mimcha ve'en yisa ela lashon hasaran. That's what he says. Yisa is more removing. You know, the precedence of that word is more removal than bringing closer. Okay, so that's really, I have to tell you, that is not the majority opinion. Most of the other Mefarshim say something along the lines of Eben Ezra and Rabbeinu Bachya in 20 and 21, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha, more positive. Hefech alim einai mikem. It's the opposite of, I'm hiding my face from you. Behatam, meaning I'm not removing my face of anger, but I'm showing you my face of goodness, of bracha. And behatam, and it's the opposite of hiding my face, because we know Hashem has been hidden throughout history, you know, starting with Shibud Mitzrayim at the beginning. And this is the opposite. No, I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to let these bad things happen. I'm going to be there in full force. I'm there for you. Behatam, kasher perashti, ki b'chol makom shetifne, yihye panav nisuot elecha, that anywhere you turn in life, Hashem's facing you, that you should know that wherever you go, even if you feel like you're falling or you're going in a bad place, I always, you know what I think about when I see this, Dr. Seuss, The Places You'll Go, right? Great book, right? And sometimes you end up in this scary alley with the monsters coming out of the, you know, out of the street, you know, but like you might end up taking a detour. You might be in a place that is not great for you. Just know, no matter what, Hashem is there for you. Hashem is shining his face upon you. V'yasem lecha shalom. And that's what's going to bring you peace. And Rabbeinu Bachya says the same thing. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha b'chol makom shetifneh. He just adds one piece. No matter where you go, Hashem's facing you. Hashem is there. Know that Hashem is there for you to bring you peace. And then he adds, this is why I brought in this source, he hashkacha pratit yetera. It's like, we know there's hashkacha in the world, that Hashem has a plan for the world. I have to say, if there's something we learned during COVID, it's that there's hashkacha in the world. Our lives are not, we are not in control. I feel like we always said that. I can't speak for you. I could speak for me. I feel like I would always say that party line, you know, like, I don't mean it negatively, but like, you know, everything's in Hashem's hands. You know, we are not in control. But I don't think I ever really fully felt that. Like, I am in control. I'm making a bar mitzvah, I'm making a wedding, I'm planning this, I'm planning that, I'm planning a trip. And like, what do you mean I'm not in control? I think COVID taught us that we are not in control. And anyway, so that's the idea that there's hashgacha in the world, and there's also hashgacha prati, that Hashem has a plan for us individuals, but there's also hashgacha pratit yetira, a special added hashgacha on each and every one of us individually, that we should know that Hashem is there for us. And it's behefech alim and amikim. It's the opposite of Hashem hiding from us, that he's always there for us. And we just have to, you know, just be aware and cognizant of the fact, and that will bring us v'yasem lecha shalom, and that'll bring us peace. That Keres Yitzchak sums it up really well. He says, I'll just, you know, do this quickly because I just want to end with the Ralbag. He says, he starts out, he says that Birchat Konim are three, you know, Shalosh Tzrachim Hechrechim Asher Lanu. There are three, you know, the brachos represent three essentials that that we have in our lives, that we need in our lives. The first one is physical. And, you know, the things that we need physically, like money. And he says, they're not permanent. We don't take it with us. You know, we don't need it in Olam Haba, but we need it in this world. You know, so they're temporary, but we still need it. And the second one is spiritual. And those are our spiritual needs. And those are the things that we're not complete spiritually without, you know, in spiritual inspiration from Hashem. And both those things come from Hashem, the physical needs and also our spiritual needs. And finally, three, and by the way, you need both, because you look at these people who have everything they could possibly desire physically, and they're just so unhappy, and they're looking for meaning in their lives, and they're just spiritually, you know, unhappy. And vice versa also, sometimes it's hard to be able to enjoy the spiritual if you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you know? So we need both. And the third one, Omnam HaShlishi Hu Tzorchenu Beinenu Bein Elokenu V'hu L'Kabel Mas'at Panav U'Dveikut Ahavato. And basically, just to sum up, I mean, I didn't have time to go more into this last one, but it's really the combination of both. What do I mean by that? That the recognition that the physical, our physical needs and our spiritual needs come from Hashem always. It's the combination of the two, that Hashem is always there for us, no matter where we turn, to be able to provide for us physically and spiritually. And ultimately, and I think you could read this either way, both ways, ultimately, knowing no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what curveball life, you know, life throws at us, knowing that Hashem is there to provide for us physically and spiritually, that will bring us v'yasem lecha shalom. That will bring us the inner peace that we so desire. And I think on the flip side, if there's no peace, it's very hard to appreciate the physical and spiritual brachot. So they go hand in hand. You know, what came first? You know, you need the peace to be able to appreciate that. But what brings you the peace? The knowledge that everything comes from Hashem, and he's there for us no matter what, and ready to bestow his physical and spiritual blessings on us. And that's the bracha of Birchat Kohanim. And just to finish up, and now you see, so this is, you know, again, think about it. Think about it next time you hear the Kohanim saying this. The Kohanim are basically telling us this, you know, telling us, be prepared for this blessing, because Hashem is there always to provide for us physically and spiritually, no matter what happens, no matter what we do, no matter what happens externally, internally, you know, Hashem is there for us. And that's ultimately what will bring us peace. And then finally, we have 3 more minutes. I could do this in 3 minutes. And if we go 2 more minutes, we actually started at 8:32. So I actually have 5 minutes. Sorry. I'll take questions after. Don't worry. But just to finish up, because I started out, that was really my message here. But just to finish up, just want to show you this beautiful Ralbag. Okay, now let's plug it back in to Parsha Naso, because it is a Parsha share. You know, you want to see the whole gamut of what's going on in the Parsha, you know, not just one section, albeit as beautiful as it is. So back to our seemingly disconnected topics in Naso. Remember, just to review that, we're talking about the camp, the machane, we're talking about Sara'at, we're talking about stealing from the Karban Asham is a guilt offering. I can't go, that's another whole shiur, but like that has to do with, we already learned the laws of this Karban Asham. When you steal from someone, basically you have to return it plus a fifth of what you stole. And if the person is dead, you have to give it to the Kohen. You have to give it to a relative. And we had learned that already in Vayikra. And here in Naso, it tells us that if the person has no relatives, then you give it to the Kohen, right? If the person died and he has no relatives. So the Farshim will say, what do you mean a person has no relatives? Like Rabbi Kelman and I, you know, we're doing Jewish geography when we first started. Like, everyone has relatives, you know, everybody's related. How could you not have a third, you know, cousin twice removed? So Rashi, among other Mefarshim, says it's talking about Gzeilat Hager, you know, someone who's a convert. Don't think that, you know, well, because he has no relatives, so you could steal from him, because then if he dies, you don't have to pay back any relatives. No, you can't. And that's what this is coming to teach us. You can't take advantage of someone who might be easily exploitable. And that's why, you know, if he has no relatives, you give it to the Kohen. So the point is that it's this topic is about Karban Asham, guilt offering, but really about stealing from a ger. And then you have the laws of Sota. And then you have the laws of Nazir, like we said at the beginning, and then you have Birchat Kohanim. So the Rabag has, so a lot of Mefarshim talk about why each one is here individually. The Rabag puts it all together. He says very beautifully, last two sources, it's the same Rabag. I'm not going to read the whole thing, we'll just kind of paraphrase it. He says that, remember what we started out saying, B'nai Israel leaving Har Sinai. Okay, this is a pivotal time. They're leaving Har Sinai. They need to, you know, be inspired, take the inspiration with them, stay connected to God, stay connected to Torah, says the Rabag. And that's why they start with the camp. Why? Because the camp has to be united to do this. Look, I mean, our Torah is much stronger when we're together, Am Yisrael, Torah Achat. Yeah, we have different minhagim. We have different things that divide us. But if we're united, we're so much stronger. So the ultimate, you know, goal in leaving Har Sinai, look what happened at Har Sinai, Vayichan, we did on Shavuot, right? Amachad Balevachad. We had this unity at Har Sinai. And of course, unfortunately, we know it's challenging, you know, leaving Har Sinai. Like, how do we maintain that unity? So the most important goal here, in order to be able to get all these brachot and connect to Hashem and the Torah, is to stay united. That means you can't have infighting. You can't be divisive. And that's why the first thing is to remove the bad from the camp. And that's why we start out talking about Sarat. Why does someone get Sarat? Because they spoke Lashon Hara, right? That's very divisive. You get people against someone else because you say bad things about them. That causes divisiveness. Gzeilata, you know, stealing, whether it's from a ger, you know, someone who's easily exploitable, stealing from anyone, that causes divisiveness. That's a, you know, antidote. It's an ingredient for divisiveness. And that's why all these things to prevent us from doing this are antidotes to that. So again, the goal is to have peace in the camp. Says the Ralbag. So again, lahasir machloket tatam Yisrael michlalam, right? So the very main thing, our goal, tachlita, to remove the negative stuff from the camp. But before we do that, you have to first lahasir haktata min habayit. And he explains how sometimes the Torah works backwards. You'll say the goal, but then go backwards and say, okay, before we get to the goal of having unity in the camp and peace in the camp, we can't have peace in the camp if there's no peace in the homes. Right? You need shalom bayit. Bnei shalom bayit kodem l'shalom ha'am. You can't be an upstanding citizen and member of the tzibor if you're an abusive husband. Like, you, it doesn't work. You have to have shalom in the home that will translate into shalom in the community. So that's why sota comes next, because sota is an antidote for peace in the home. You should have a peaceful home. There's a problem here if they don't trust each other. And this is teaching us about how important shalom bayit is, peace in the home, so that you can have peace in the machane. And then comes along the last piece. And this my psychologist husband loves. I love it too. He says that, so again, you need peace in the camp. But you can't have peace in the camp if you don't have shalom bayit. And what's the next thing after sota? Nazir. Why? Because she nana lahasirak tata v'hafseid min habayit lefi shezota parsha hu lahashkit ha'hafseid meha'adam be'atzmo. That before you can have peace in the home, you need peace in yourself. And I don't have time to do this because it's another whole shir, but that's what Nazir represents. Nazir is basically, according to a lot of Mefarshim, like rehab. But we'll talk about that another time. But the point is that the Nazir is is someone who has angst and he has to go through self-reflection. Maybe that's why he becomes a Nazir. So again, if our goal is to have peace in the camp, you can't have peace in the camp if you don't have peace in your home, but you can't have peace in the home if you don't have peace within yourself. You know, it makes my husband crazy, these rabbis who tell these people who come and say they have all these issues, get married, they'll go away. They don't go away. You bring them into the marriage. You bring the problems. I'm not saying everyone has to be perfectly psychologically sound before they get married. None of us will get married, right? But like, you know, at least like know what your issues are and work on them before you bring someone else into it. So that's what the Nazir represents. So again, peace in the camp, peace in the home, peace in the individual. And that's why Birchat Kohanim is the end, because if you have all these levels of shalom, like we said before, then you could be open and be the recipient of all these brachot, the physical and the spiritual brachot of Hashem, that will ultimately lead to the inner peace, to the external peace that we all hope and pray for. So have a Shabbat Shalom. I'm not done. I know there were some questions on the chat. I have not yet learned how to respond to the chat and give a shiur at the same time. So I'm so happy to take questions. And
thank you. Yeah, you can. Thank you. You look at chat. No, we always advise speakers only to look at the questions at the end anyway.
Okay.
So you see the questions. You want me to read them to you? Just a few comments here.
Let me just seeing it here. I know. I also feel bad. I see that you said to share your screen. I should have. I didn't. I got into it. Once I get into it, I'm on like autopilot.
If I should insist or not.
Right. I should have. I'm sorry. I hope that you had the sources in front. I should have just shared my screen. Honestly, I don't love sharing the screen. I didn't see it until I was almost at the end. Honestly, I wasn't really looking. I saw things coming in on the chat, but I like seeing the faces. I like seeing my Talmidim and Talmidot. So sometimes, you know, when you share the screen, then I only see five people at a time and the shared screen takes up most of the time. But again, I'm sorry. I hope you were able to do it. Isn't the venue not in temple attendant meeting a change? Yes. Yes. Meaning of Birchat Kohanim. Yes, it is a change. It's certainly a change. Like we're not, you know, the Kohanim are not doing this in the Beit HaMikdash. However, it's still a remnant of the Avodah itself. You know, of course, it's not in the Beit HaMikdash. We hope that it will be again one day soon, but it's still a remnant of that avoda, even if the location or the venue has changed. Yeah, shoes off but socks on. Is this a change? I don't know. Rabbi Kelman, you know anything about that? Who's a Kohen here?
Yeah, I assume that originally they didn't have socks. I mean, in the
Beit HaMikdash, I'm assuming it was barefoot. Socks. But I think they didn't have socks, right? I don't think it's a thing.
So today we consider it.
We can have socks.
We're makil. We allow them to wear socks.
And it gives and it gives the Kohanim a way to show their accessories and their colorful socks. But no, I probably it was without socks just because there was no such thing.
That's of course why you mentioned that, you know, the men put the talus over their head, you know, so they shouldn't see. That's why the Kohanim put the talus over their head.
Oh, correct. Look,
you don't see anything.
Correct.
So it's
correct.
Really a double.
It's a double thing, right? Right. A weaving argument trying to force a blessing from Hashem when we are in exile. Well, a very interesting question. No tent, no temple, no service. Again, it's not. We're not forcing it. This is this week's parsha. You'll see it inside. Hashem says, "Kotzev Baruch Hu." So you could say, "Well, how do we know that we still do that? Because that you didn't need the temple for. You know, you didn't need the kalim to be able to do that." So it's not an arrogance, adraba. It's something that we are grasping. We're, you know, this is the one thing that we can do that we don't need the venue of the Beit HaMikdash in order to do. Now, you're saying when we're in exile, I think that that's probably why we say it only on the Chagim, as opposed to in Eretz Yisrael when you say it every day, because maybe that's part of it. Like, we shouldn't have the arrogance to think, oh, we're on this level in Chutz La'aretz. No. We're on the level in Chutz La'aretz on the holiest days of the whole year, where there's like a spirituality and a simcha built in. So that's what I think, you know, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, there's a certain level, you know, of holiness just by living in Eretz Yisrael and being in Eretz Yisrael that, you know, you could say, no, we could say Birchat Kohanim every day and bring the bracha of Hashem because we're always on this level of holiness because of the venue, you know, Kiddushat HaMakom, we know there are three types of holiness. There's Kiddushat HaZman, you know, time is holy, Kiddushat HaGuf, individual, you know, holiness on ourselves, our bodies, and also Kiddushat HaMakom, and the place that's, you know, that's holy. So if you're in the holier place, then you do have the arrogance. Again, I don't use arrogance, so negative, but then you can bring this bracha of Hashem. Whereas for us, we're doing this remnants of avoda, but we're going to do it on the Chagim because that's when we can reach the level of holiness. You can't assume that there aren't people in your audience who would be happy to have your clutter problem. Right. Okay. That's fair. That was to me directly. Sharing, you know, my own individual stuff. Individuals. So like, Sinai, you know, everybody understood the event individual. Yes, correct. Correct. Right, exactly. Like Kol Hashem Bekoach. The idea is good. Exactly. You know, the same way the Nitziv is saying the individual bracha, that we also heard the Torah individually. When we say Kol Hashem Bekoach, it wasn't Bekocho. It wasn't Bekocham. It was Bekoach. It was Bekoach each person. Every person heard individually. You know, this is a theme of Judaism. You know, you're Mechanech Al Pi Darko. You know, and this is why Torah is not, it's not one size fits all. You know, and I really believe very strongly that I believe very strongly that people who get very turned off from Torah is because of that point. You know, they were taught or forced, you know, into a specific shape that doesn't fit. And they weren't being mechanech al pi darka. Maybe that's just unfair to say, but I think that Torah Tasham Tmima, Torah is incredibly meaningful. And I think, you know, who's giving that Torah and how, and the individualistic aspect of it is very, very important. You can't try to fit people into a mold. And Hashem, we all have individual kochot. We're all individual, you know. And yeah, so that's a nice idea. The same way that that we heard the Torah, we received the Torah individually. Okay.
Just, I think, on the paraduma, but I think that's the last question.
Let's see.
Only temple for paraduma.
The temple for Red Hive either. Should we restore that practice? No, I think you need you. It's a carbon, meaning you do. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk every couple of years about a red cow that's found in Eretz Yisrael, but I think the whole point is that it's brought as a carbon, and that's why the person who brings the paraduma as a carbon becomes tamei. That's one of the most amazing things. Maybe someone will talk about that parshat Chukat. He becomes tamei, but he's metahir other people. But no, that's very much of a of the avoda, you know, the carbon related avoda. So yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
Thank you. Of
thank you.
course, you know, here, of course, the Sfardim do, you know, duchen every day. I mean, it's a big question why we don't duchen every day.
Right,
That's, you know,
right.
in the Ramah and Simcha, but it's this
Right.
the real halacha probably is we're supposed to duchen every day, but
And
for
that's why
reasons that are not for another shir, as you say, for another shir, why the custom is that we only duchen on Yontif. But the Sfardim do actually do
Correct.
duchen every
And
day.
that's why I
Yeah.
should have said, and that's why we do have during Chazaras Hashatz, we have like this the shortened version of Birchat Kohanim. So we
Right.
kind of compromise on that. Look, I love the Sephardi minhag and also the German, the Yekki minhag to say Birchat Kohanim under the chuppah. I love that because if you think about, you know, we've just discussed what this bracha is about. It's such an amazing bracha to start off your marriage with, you know?
Well,
So
or
that's
Friday
also.
night. I mean, some
And
parents
Friday
do
night, some
that.
give their kids brachot. Exactly, exactly. But again, you could understand now the beauty of this. You know, it's really, you know, the bracha that's going to bring us peace. And it's such a beautiful way to start a marriage. It's such a beautiful way to bless your children. So,
All
yeah.
right, very nice. Thank
Thank
you very
you. Thank you
much.
for listening. Thanks for spending your Thursday nights
Okay,
with me.
thank you. Tomorrow morning, those who can make it, I'll be teaching Pirkei Avot at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Rav Daniel Feldman will be finishing his series on Halach and Human Relations. Rabbi Liebtag is taking a break this week in between, you know, series. We're going to start another series next week. And Monday morning, Rabbi Ari Shvat. He has actually two parts left on his series on religious Zionism, and we'll keep you posted with all the upcoming few new series that are starting up after Yontif. Mark Shapiro will be continuing his regular series. The Haftorah continues the regular series, etc. Marty Lakshin's continuing; those are the ongoing. And then we'll watch for your emails. Shoshana, I'll put you on our email list
You
so you
have
can
great
watch the
stuff. I was going to say
show.
again, make sure you put me on your email.
No, we Baruch
Great
Hashem, we
stuff.
got good stuff. Good stuff.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, I want to
Rabbi
wish
Kalman
everybody.
has my email address if anybody wants to get in touch.
Okay,
Any
thank you,
questions when
Gisela.
you think
Okay,
about
I
later
want to otherwise give it up, but if anybody
Shabbat
wants. Okay, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom,
Feel
and
free
peace
to
all
unmute and
everybody.
say goodbye.
Yeah.
Shalom.
Okay,
Bye, guys.
Bye, Shoshana. Thank you.
Good to see you. It's so nice to see you. Thanks for coming. That's so nice.
Take care.